Well, good morning, everybody. This is Bob Ilson. We're set as usual for our Sunday morning show. And remember, there are a lot of things on the air today, a lot of viewing, a lot of football. The Bears are playing the Vikings, and that game will be on the tube at 1 o'clock. After that, at 3 o'clock, there's the game between Dallas and Green Bay, and that should be a tremendous football game. And then tonight, there's another outstanding game. I'm saying tomorrow night, meaning Monday, there is a good game, too. That's the Oakland-Cincinnati game. But the game tonight should be a tremendous game because it puts two real powers against each other. That's the Pittsburgh Steelers against the Los Angeles Rams out on the West Coast. So it's going to be a big, big day of football. Be on the tube from noon right until 10 o'clock at night. So watch your favorite team because you'll find them along the line someplace. Speaking of football, our guest today has been associated with football for a long, long time. Ziggy Zarapsky of Notre Dame. He was a member of a great, great team. He was in the class of 1948. He was an All-American at Notre Dame in 1947 and was admitted to the College Hall of Fame in 1977. So we'll talk about Notre Dame and about football in general with Ziggy, and he'll be our guest in just about 1 minute. We're delighted to have an old friend, Ziggy Zarapsky of Notre Dame, as our guest today. Notre Dame probably has more sidewalk alumni than any school in the country. Zig, don't you think that's right?
I'd agree with you, Bob, because every priest or nun walking the streets in America, they're all scouting for Notre Dame. After I leave your show today, I'm going up to 127th and Kedzie to the Eisenhower Stadium to look at one or two prospects that Coach George Kelly asked me to look at. And there's fellows all over the country like myself, alumni and friends who help Notre Dame in certain areas. And Notre Dame is divided into six areas for scouting, and Coach George Kelly, the middle linebacker coach, has the Chicago area. And he either calls on me or George Conner or Johnny Latner from the Chicago area to help him out in looking for prospects in this area.
Well, Notre Dame, almost following the same pattern as last year, got off to a slow start, and all of a sudden they're a powerhouse.
Well, I saw that Missouri game, and it's hard to believe, Bob. They were on a half-yard line. They were on the 8-yard line, 15-yard line. They were within the 20-yard line seven times, and they end up losing 3-0. And then, naturally, the Michigan game, the first half they played a very good half, and the second half they played like a bunch of bums. They played like the Bears. And all of a sudden, the last few weeks, they found themselves, and they're a real fine team, and as I told you earlier, they'll be in the Sugar Bowl this year, probably playing the winner of the LSU-Alabama game, which will be televised this week.
What does a bowl like that mean to a school?
Well, Notre Dame is very fortunate. They don't belong to any conference. They don't have to split their take. A big bowl and the major bowls, I'm talking in the major bowls like the Rose Bowl, the Cotton Bowl, the Orange Bowl, and Sugar Bowl, those are the four majors. Notre Dame will get at least $1 million by themselves. If they went to the Gator Bowl, they got $400,000 a few years ago, and the Liberty Bowl offered them $350,000, so they'll just stay with the major bowls.
Well, that's a nice piece of money for a school.
Well, Bob, if you're down in South Bend, you have to realize the intramural program with 6,200 boys and 800 girls on campus and 18 varsity teams. Football takes care of most of the expense for all those sports. And the intramural program is one of the biggest in the country, and all these kids participate. And I would say that's where most of the revenues go.
Well, now, when you were down at Notre Dame, which was in the 40s, did they attract the top high school players like they do now?
I would say so, Bob. Years ago, like in the 40s, naturally, it was just a little after the Depression, a poor kid was very fortunate to go to Notre Dame. As I mentioned earlier, I had the privilege to go to Notre Dame. My father was a butcher on the south side of Chicago. Marty Wendell's father was a carpenter. Bill Fisher's father was a steelworker. Today, these kids come from better means. There's a little more money around. But I would say that Notre Dame attracts some of the finest athletes in the country, and you also have to have the scholastic rating. The average student at Notre Dame has a 70% average, and if you participate in sports, you have to maintain a 77 average, or you're not allowed to go out for sports.
So scholastically, they're tough.
They're very tough. Surprisingly, some of the boys that turn up at these other institutions are great athletes, but they just were a little scared about not making it scholastically at Notre Dame, and they went to other schools and made it big, and I'm very happy for them.
You know, Notre Dame has always been fortunate in that they've always had a name in the limelight. It started with George Gipp. Then they had the Rockne years. Then they had the Leahy years. Then they had the Persegian years. They've always had a big name that attracts the public and attracts high school athletes.
Well, I was very fortunate. When I went to Notre Dame, Bob, our quarterbacks were Angelo Bertelli, the Springfield Rifle, Johnny Lujak, who was our regular quarterback. And then we had George Ratterman, as you recall, played with the Cleveland Browns. And Frank Trapuca was our third-string quarterback, and he played 13 years with Denver. And incidentally, Frank Trapuca's son is on the varsity basketball team. And if you ever watch him in action, he's 6'7", 238 pounds, 18 years old, and he'll be an All-American as a sophomore. The boys are a lot bigger and rougher this time.
Yes, I remember seeing him in the tournament play last year. He's really outstanding for a young kid.
Well, Digger Phelps has done an outstanding job, and I watch the game on the tube like you do, and this year they're having 10 out of the 12 starters coming back, and 10 of the boys were freshmen last year, so they're in for another great 3 years. Can you imagine 10 sophomores coming back, all playing pretty good ball?
You know, Devine remains a mystery down at Notre Dame. For a while they had bumper stickers, get rid of Devine and all that sort of thing, and now they have other one. Devine is Devine. Evidently they've changed their attitude about him. But he does remain a mystery man, doesn't he?
Well, Dan's a funny fella. He likes to be by himself. He's a loner. And he stepped into a pretty big pair of shoes. Naturally, Notre Dame through the years, starting with Rockne, had a coach that had a lot of charisma. And then after Rockne came Frank Leahy and Elmer Layden, one of the four horsemen, and then Persegian. These were very popular fellas. And Dan Devine's a loner. He's by himself, and he just don't get out and meet the public like these other gentlemen. But I guess his record speaks for itself. He's had a winning record every place he's gone, except maybe Green Bay. So last year he won the national championship. You can't argue with that. But the guy must be a hell of a coach.
You know, the Football News had an interesting column the other day. You probably read it. Roger Stanton is the editor. He wasn't speaking about the immediate future, but he said, one of these days, and it won't be too long, Don Shula will be the head coach at Notre Dame. He's regarded as one of the great coaches in the country. He's a very devout Catholic, as you know, goes to Mass every morning of his life. And also said that Ara Persegian, when the athletic director quits, will be the new director of athletics.
I don't think so, Bob. Ara's very happily working now in his own business. He does some TV work. He has his own insurance business and a PR firm in South Bend. He has his assistant coach, Tom Pagna, working for him. And there's a few other people in line for the AD job as soon as Moose Krause wants to leave the university. And I personally think that Persegian will stay where he's at. He's making close to $250,000 a year, and He couldn't do that in collegiate coaching.
What about Shula?
I know Don. Like you mentioned, he's a very fine Catholic, a daily communicant, and he wanted the Notre Dame job. And about a month before they signed Devine, he would have taken that job for maybe half the salary that Devine. Shula's got a certain percentage of the Miami Dolphins. He's a millionaire today. And Don would love to coach Notre Dame, but I think it's all over with now. If he would have gotten it before 2 years or 3 years ago, we would have been at Notre Dame.
You know, people are wondering what's happened to Dallas. Dallas's Dorsett seems to be a victim of fumbleitis in every game. He's made some fumbles when it really hurts. What about fumbles? What sort of an attitude did Coach Frank Leahy have about fumbles?
Well, fumble is mostly concentration. The boys take their minds off what they're doing. And as I told you earlier, Bob, Johnny Lattner was one of the great halfbacks at Notre Dame and a personal friend of yours and mine, a Heisman Award winner. One game he fumbled five times, and Coach Leahy didn't like that at all. And the following Monday, he summoned Lattner into his office, and he had a football with tape around it with a meat handle, one of those wooden meat handles. And he says, "Johnny, you have to carry this football all your classes for the next week. And just remember that when you have the football, you don't fumble it." And the next six games, Johnny never fumbled the ball, and Notre Dame won a national championship. So I think that's the trouble with Dorsett. He doesn't concentrate. And what the coach should do is give him the wooden handle, the old meat where you carried the Polish sausage and the kielbasa, and wrap it up like a football and have him carry it around for a week.
What about the Bears? Do you watch them on Sunday, or do you go out to the games?
Well, I sort of gave up on them, Bob. They gave up on themselves a few weeks ago. They're not the greatest team that ever hit the midway, but the kids just don't have it. They don't have that spark or the, not the killer instinct, but they're not mean enough. They're just happy to lose. They have that losing attitude today, and that's what's the trouble. They don't have a guy like Butkus kicking them in a fanny. They don't have a Mike Ditka, a George Conner, a Bill George are in back of that line. Doug Buffon's a personal friend of mine, but he's playing on one leg the last few years. They just don't have a real leader to knock them around a little bit, get them excited. I'd like to see Neil Armstrong raise his arm once in a while and make a fist or cough or do something. He's too nonchalant on that sidelines, and that's the way the ball players are reacting. They're nonchalant.
The game tonight should pit two of the great teams in pro football, Pittsburgh and the L.A. Rams.
Pittsburgh's a very well-coached team. I think Pittsburgh should win by at least one or two touchdowns. The Rams have a good team, but Pittsburgh, I think, will take it all this year.
You figure Pittsburgh to win it all?
Yes, I had the pleasure to be with Rocky Blyer, and as you know, he had a real bad couple of wounds in the war, came back and played tremendous ball for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and last year they threw a banquet for Rocky in Appleton, Wisconsin, and I had the pleasure to pinch hit for Chris Schenkel, who couldn't make it because of a snowstorm, and 1,200 people showed up in a snowstorm in Appleton, Wisconsin, to pay their respects to a great athlete, Rocky Blyer.
Well, he is a marvelous athlete, and as you say, that really is some kind of a football team. Tomorrow night, it'll be Oakland against Cincinnati. Oakland's had their problems because Stabler keeps throwing interceptions.
I can't imagine what happened to Kenny Stabler because he's one of the greatest passers we've had in the last 10 years. It's just one of those bad years for a couple of those quarterbacks. Maybe the line isn't holding, and they're getting rushed, and he just thrown those interceptions. Phipps came in last week and sort of sparked the Bears a little bit, but he was intercepted two or three times. You have to have at least a three-second count. When I say a count, it's like you say 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, and by that time the ball's got to be in the air. And if he don't get those three good counts, he's going to be hit. You got to have those linemen blocking for you up front, or you're not going to throw that ball.
We're talking football today with an All-American from Notre Dame and an old friend of many, many years, Ziggy Zurabski. And we'll be back with our guest in just a moment. Our guest today, and we're delighted to have him, is a former Notre Dame great, Ziggy Zurabski. You know, George Conner is one of the nicest guys I've ever run into. How good a football player was he, Zig?
Well, George will surprise you. He was my captain when I was at Notre Dame, and I played against George, and he was at De La Salle High School in Chicago when I was at Mount Carmel. George was about 6'4" and about 235 at Notre Dame, but he moved like the halfback. And when he came with the Bears, to show you how much speed he had, Coach Hollis even made a tackle-eligible play just for Conners. But then he ended up being the middle linebacker and did an outstanding job. And Bill George, was one of my dear friends and a friend of yours, said that George Conners taught him everything he knows about middle linebacking. He was one of the greats.
Notre Dame has a tough game coming up after the bowl selections. That's against Southern California on the coast.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, Bob, the bowl bids come out a week from next Wednesday, and by that time I think Notre Dame would be assured of the Sugar Bowl, and they'll probably play the winner of the LSU-Alabama game this week. After they play Tennessee, they play Georgia Tech on the road, and then they end up in California against Southern Cal, and that's always a great game. And that won't decide anything because the bowl bids are in, And I don't think Notre Dame's going to be acclaimed number one with two defeats, and Southern Cal got beat once by Arizona State. So I think it'll be a good game, but I think by that time Notre Dame will be assured of a bowl bid, and it'll be the Sugar Bowl.
You know, speaking of bowls, I'd love to see Purdue go to the Rose Bowl.
I think every Big Ten fan would like to see Purdue or any other team besides Michigan, Ohio State in there. And Purdue deserves it this year. They played a great season, and this Herman, the quarterback, is the best quarterback I've seen in about 15, 20 years in the Middle West. He's a fine passer.
And they've got good runners with it.
Oh, yes. Notre Dame beat Purdue, and it wasn't a runaway, but I think if Purdue can win the next two or three games, they'll go to the Rose Bowl and play the UCLA team.
You know, there was always talk because of the great record they made at Notre Dame that Leahy would be a pro coach, and there's been the same talk that Ara Parseghian would be a pro coach. Leahy is, to me, always seemed to be a different type than Parseghian. He was a little bit more reticent. He was a little quieter.
Well, they were two different personalities. I had the pleasure to play under Coach Leahy, and he was a tough taskmaster. We scrimmaged maybe two times a week, even during the season. And these scrimmages were worse than any team we'd ever play. He'd line up the team and split us in half. He'd have Leon Hart, who played next to me, myself, and Bill Fisher. And then it'd just be a half-a-line scrimmage. Then he'd put on the opposite side the other half-a-line. Jim Martin, who played with the Detroit Lions for 15 years. George Connor was our captain. And Marty Wendell from St. George played guard. And we just run four plays, just a half-a-line scrimmage. And that was worse than any team in the country. Because these guys knew the plays, and they were friends of ours, but we had to beat the hell out of each other. And that was the toughest part of the season. And when we came to a Saturday game, it was like taking pie from a baby. Because the opposition was during the week against our own teammates. But on Saturday, we'd always have a good day. We only lost one game in 3 years, so we had a pretty good record.
One game in 3 years were the kind of teams that they played against.
Well, it actually wasn't a collegiate game. It was against Great Lakes up here at Great Lakes back in the war years. And Great Lakes had an all-pro team, as you recall.
Yes, I do.
And they beat us in the last 38 seconds by a 65-yard pass. That's when Buddy Young played with Great Lakes. And we never lost a collegiate game. The game we tied was against Army in Yankee Stadium when they had Doc Blanchard and Glenn Davis, and it ended up scoreless. But that's the only mark on our – we were national champs those 3 years.
You know, one of the – top football players now is quite a figure in politics. Kemp, did you know him?
Yeah, Jack Kemp, a fine quarterback, and surprising, there's quite a few athletes going in. I just seen a paper where Bill Bradley was elected U.S. Senator. So it shows you these ball players aren't too dumb. You have to have some intelligence to play basketball or football and then win these big seats.
What about you as a pro?
I had the misfortune of going in the All-American Conference. That was when we had the two leagues. And I was the number one draft choice of the Chicago Cardinals when they were in Chicago. And Mr. Bidwell, who owned the Cardinals, offered me a certain price. And too bad he passed on 6 months before the season. And I went and told the gentleman in charge of the Cardinals what Charlie offered me verbally. And there was nothing written. He said, "We don't pay Charlie Trippi that kind of money." I says, "Well, he wanted me because I'm from the South Side, and I know a lot of Polish people and a lot of German people. They'll sell their Polish sausage and buy tickets for these games." He says, "I'm sorry, we can't come up with that kind of money." So I left to the other league, and I got what I wanted, and disbanded 3 years later. That's the old Cleveland Browns and the New York Yankees and the Los Angeles Dons. It was a pretty good league. They beat the Los Angeles Rams the first time in a world championship, the Cleveland Browns, with Otto Graham and Marion Motley and that great team.
Boy, now you're talking about one of the great, I thought that was one of the great pro teams I'd ever seen.
Well, they didn't give us much credit in football, the National Football League, but the first year that the Cleveland Browns went against the Rams, as you recall, Bob Waterfield and Norm Van Brocklin were quarterbacking the Rams, and they expected the Browns to lose by about three touchdowns. And the Browns beat them that day for the first time in the world championship. And after that, they recognized the AFL.
Ziggy, you're a member of the College Hall of Fame. What is it like over there? Where is it located?
It's about 20 miles out of Cincinnati. And if any of your friends on radio ever go by Cincinnati, it's in Kings Island. It's a real nice atmosphere. And it's a brand new building they just we dedicated the last year. It's about 22 miles out of Cincinnati. It's a very lovely building, and there's a lot of things to see.
Well, once you're admitted to the College Hall of Fame, what happens there? They put your picture up?
Yes, they have a picture and a short biography of every guy in there. I had the pleasure last year to go in with Gale Sayers and Joe Bellino and some of your friends, Nomalini from Minnesota. And this year they're honoring a very dear friend of ours from Chicago Cardinals, Gerard Ramsey. Played on the great Cardinal teams, and Norty Huffman that played on Coach Rockne's last national champ team. And today he's the sergeant-at-arms, took Fishbait's job with the president. As the president comes through with the Senate, Norty Huffman's the sergeant-at-arms, and we'll have a nice party with him in 3 weeks in New York.
How many did they take into the Hall of Fame every year?
They take in 11 ball players, not for each position. 11 ball players they think are the best, and then they take in a coach. So it's 11 ball players each year and a coach.
Well, that's quite an honor.
Yes, it is. There's only about 400 in the Hall of Fame, and that takes in the entire United States, and it's quite an honor to be in that Hall of Fame.
Now, Notre Dame played Tennessee yesterday. Who do they have coming up?
Georgia Tech the following week, and then they close at Southern Cal the 25th of November. I think they can beat Southern Cal. Southern Cal's always a great team to play against. But Arizona State beat them at Southern Cal, and that was really a shocker to me because I know Frank Cush at Arizona State, and he's a great coach, but he's about 20, 30 pounds shorter on the line than the Southern Cal. Southern Cal's got a big team. So I think Notre Dame has a chance of knocking off Southern Cal this year.
Did they have that rivalry with Southern Cal when you were at Notre Dame?
Oh, yes. That was one of our big games of the year. We either closed our season on the coast or Southern Cal came here at South Bend and closed the season. Decided 2 years our national championship. As you recall, in 46 they had the great Michigan team, and we were vying for 1-2 each Saturday. That's when they had Bob Chappius and those great backs at Michigan. And our last game was against Southern Cal, and we beat them 38-6. And then Michigan played them in the Rose Bowl, and Michigan beat them 55-6. But we were lucky to sneak in there before the Rose Bowl, and we're claimed the number one team.
Our guest today, and we're delighted to have him, a former Notre Dame great, Ziggy Zarabsky, and everybody's friend. We'll be back with our guest in just a moment. Our guest today is Ziggy Zarabsky of Notre Dame. You know, Ziggy, one of the nicest guys that I've ever met in my life. Talk about a class guy is Bart Starr of Green Bay.
Well, I've known Bart for many years, and as you say, he's a class guy, but he was one of the great quarterbacks of all time. And he had the man with him that's a personal friend of ours for years, Paul Hornung, and Jimmy Taylor. And it was one of the great teams of all time. And Bart Starr has done a tremendous job. As I mentioned earlier, he's got 22 new men on his club. They're sophomores-like. And I give Bart another year or two, and he's going to be right up there for a championship. He's got a tough game against Dallas. When's that game coming off?
That game is today.
I personally think Dallas will beat him at Milwaukee, but give Bart Starr another year or two, and he's going to have a real good team.
You know, Zig, speaking about nice people in sports, have you ever met Bobby Orr?
Bobby Orr, I just happened to meet the last 2 years, and what a wonderful guy he is. I understand he just sort of, his knee gave out or something.
Yes.
I haven't seen Bobby in a few months, but a real high-class fellow. He just came to Chicago a year or two ago, and as you know, we do some work for Maryville. Last June, we raised $334,000 at a little picnic we held at Maryville. And Bobby and eight of the Blackhawks came out and spent about 4 hours with the kids in Des Plaines, Illinois. So he's a real high-class fella to take his time out to be with Stan Mikita and Phil Russell and Mulvey and all those great guys, Exposito. All the boys showed up for this picnic.
It's really tragic that Orr can't continue to play. He's probably the greatest, defenseman of all time. Maybe Shore was, back in the old days, was perhaps as good as he was. But as a defenseman who could score, Bobby Orr never had an equal.
Well, you just repeat the same words as Stan Mikita told me a few weeks ago. He said, Zig, just to see this guy in the ice with just one leg is fantastic. He considers Bobby Orr and Bobby Hull two of the greatest hockey players he ever seen.
Ziggy, what are you doing now?
I'm with a very dear friend of yours, Secretary of State Alan J. Dixon. I work in the northern suburbs for Alan, and I do some public speaking on the side, mostly to Polish groups, German groups, where there's free dinners.
Everybody likes the new pope?
The pope's doing a hell of a job. He's going to be around a long time. I know Bishop Abramovich in Chicago, and I spoke to him a few weeks ago, and he's very high on him. He tells me, Zig, the bishop told me this. He said, expect the pope to be in Chicago within 2 years. You know, Chicago's got the greatest Polish population besides the city of Warsaw. I think Chicago, if I'm not wrong, has over 600,000 Poles living in this city. And the pope knows there's a lot of money in town. He'll come over.
Well, I'm sure he'll get a nice welcome from everybody. Zig, thanks for being with us. Good luck, good health, and stay happy.
Thank you, Bob. Pleasure.
Our guest today, one of the nicest guys in sports, Ziggy Zarapsky of Notre Dame. He played there with one of their all-time great teams. He was named an All-American in 1947 and joined the College Hall of Fame in 1977. A real, real nice person. We've enjoyed having him. Remember, a lot of football today. The Bears will be on the tube at 1. The Dallas Green Bay will be on the tube at 3. And tonight, it'll be Pittsburgh and the Rams at 7 o'clock Chicago time. Have a happy day, whatever you're doing. And now this is Bob Elson saying goodbye until next Sunday at our usual time.